Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today as once again we face the issues. We're going to be talking about today a time of testing. We're being tested morally, ethically, socially, politically, and spiritually as a nation, as a whole. We are going through a deep test. The question is, how are we going to respond to the test? What do we do? What is the test? What do we examine and look at in all that's taking place in what is called the coronavirus pandemic? Are our rights being eroded? Are we simply to be expected as sheep blindly to follow the one that's making the statement? Are we to question anything that's being said or done? Those are some of the things that I hope we will be able to challenge and answer in response to perhaps some of your questions that you've been asking as we've been watching the panic take place. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not based on ideological bent. It's not based on political dogma. It's not based on some religious denominational rites, rituals, rules, and regulations. As we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. That's the first, foremost, and the final authority in the world. That's the Scripture. I commend it to you. The written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I'm saying that as we look at issues, we do so through the prism of Scripture. The Scripture is the final truth. The Scripture is the source of truth. It was Jesus that said in John 8:31-32 to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then in John 14:6, Jesus made a declaration, "I am truth." And then a further declaration of the further broadening of what is truth, as he was asked. In John 17:17, Jesus made a declaratory statement when he said, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, if it is not out of the Word of God, if it is not something to be confirmed, affirmed, and revealed in the Word of God, it is not truth. It's very simple. It was a number of years ago that it was George Orwell that made the statement, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." So if you wonder why there's animus and rejection and resentment on the part of Nancy Pelosi and some of those with the AOC and the squad in Washington, you'll understand why. It's because of the hatred and revulsion and the rebellion and the rejection of the truth. In fact, it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that said, "Faithful Christian, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death." And may I commend that to us, ladies and gentlemen? I believe it's time that we seek the truth and learn the truth, to live the truth, tell the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. Yes, I believe that in America today, we're failing miserably to stand on the truth of the Word of God. We're listening to what others say, what the pundits may say. We're watching and listening to the fake, phony, false Communist Network news and other sources of fabricated news. And too many Christians get their walking orders and their inspiration and encouragement and direction for what to do from the news media rather than from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ himself, in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about power backup generation as well as all power equipment for landscape and lawn care. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's right where Old Glory, the American flag's flying 24/7, about 165-foot pole with a gigantic flag. Find the flag. The intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. At the base of that flag pole, you will find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm astounded. I must admit to you, I am somewhat dilemmified, if I can start off by saying that. Perhaps as not seen in our recent history, all of Americans seem to be tested, being tested. Different facets, different ways. By the way, lest I forget it, let me remind you, you can dial the telephone number 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue, and your input. We're talking about some very serious subjects in these days, and may I simply put a little parenthetical footnote on that statement. We're living in the last of the last days. All we need to do is watch what's happening on a global basis, an international basis, and a national basis, and understand that we're in the last of the last days. We are going to need to look at, ladies and gentlemen, what happens after the rapture of the church. After the rapture of the church, we're going to see full-fledged events that we're seeing the shadow of and the foreshadowing of today. It's as though we're looking through a glass darkly, and we're seeing just the shadow movement behind the sheer curtains as to what's going to happen when the curtains go up and the rapture of the church takes place and the 21 judgments of the book of the Revelation come full force upon all the world, led by the Antichrist, empowered by Satan himself. But ladies and gentlemen, that's the future tense. And the only way you can avoid that, let me remind you, is by knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. It's by simply saying, Lord Jesus, I'm lost. I'm on my way to a devil's hell. Forgive me my sins. Come into my heart and save me. Because only saved people will be raptured out, snatched out, suddenly seized out of this old world when the Lord Jesus Christ calls us unto himself. Now, I understand there's some of you listening, you may not believe in the rapture. You can disbelieve it. It doesn't deny the truth of the Word of God. You can reject it. It does not cause the Word of God to be nullified as to the truth of what you believe or think. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is our final source of authority. It's the only source of authority. But we're watching today, I believe as never before in recent history, all of Americans being tested. Our social systems being tested, political systems being tested. The spiritual religious system is being tested. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, fully without any, catch point or stopping point, we're fully falling into the state of shock, dismay, dilemma, delusion, and what I call deadly hysteria. Now, if you don't believe that, you just simply go into Walmart. I went into Walmart yesterday. My bride had given me a little small list of three or four things to buy that was needed at home, nothing to stockpile, nothing to try to hoard, nothing to put in a closet for a six-month bunker, as some people are doing. But when I walked into Walmart, you would have thought a bomb had gone off in the place. Ladies and gentlemen, I just simply went in to get a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread and a couple of other items, but the shelves were about 80% empty. No bread, no bread products, no buns, no hot dog buns, hamburger buns, or loaves of bread of any brand or any name. No pastry, no pastas whatsoever that could be found on the shelf. No paper products whatsoever. Paper towels and anything that's paper, toilet tissue, et cetera, all gone. Almost no cereal. Bottled water was almost gone. People were shopping with their shopping carts, walking around like starry-eyed zombies in the store. In fact, as I was walking down one of the aisles, several people in the aisle around behind in front of me, and as I noticed it, I reckon it was a shock for me. As I noticed that, I said, have we all gone crazy? Are we nuts? Everybody going into a bunker? What's this all about? And that's exactly what I see taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, with enough items in some of those shopping carts I witnessed yesterday, enough items to last 6 months, going into a bunker. In fact, most Christians today, most conservatives today, most the populace in general today are simply following as the blind leads the blind. Most are simply listening to the fake, phony, false communist network news listening to some of the pundits say that you need to have bottled water, you need to have toilet tissue, you need to have a supply of food, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And naturally, the average citizen is going to think that a bomb's about to explode, the world's about to come to an end, death is surely on the horizon for the next few days, so therefore I need to bunker in, buckle down, and load up the shelves with plenty to eat, and of all things, we need to have plenty of toilet tissue. I am amazed, ladies and gentlemen. It's a shocking scenario to watch. It's like sheep gone astray with no shepherd. And Jesus talks about that in the scripture. He is concerned about Jerusalem, weeping over Jerusalem, because he said Jerusalem was like sheep without a shepherd. And that's what we see today, ladies and gentlemen, happening. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, hysteria, panic, and fear has literally taken full grip on America. Here's an article that says the coronavirus, a spreading biblical pestilence. Let me just read you the first paragraph of this 6 or 8 page article. Dateline 3-7 of 2020. That's March 7th, 2020. Over the last several decades, have we ever seen a year start as strangely as 2020? Global weather patterns have gone completely nuts. Large earthquakes are popping up like firecrackers. It's it looks like the plague of the locust in Africa could soon develop into the worst in modern history. A massive plague of bats is severely terrorizing parts of Australia. On top of all of that, African swine flu is wiping out millions upon millions of pigs around the globe. The H1N1 swine flu is killing people in Taiwan. There have been H5N1 bird flu outbreaks in China and India. And the H5N8 bird flu has made an appearance in poultry factories and facilities in Saudi Arabia. Of course, the coronavirus outbreak, which is causing people to literally drop dead in the streets in China, is making more headlines than anything that I have ever mentioned so far. And it could potentially turn this into a horrifying global pandemic that kills millions of people, end quote. That just kind of sets the stage, ladies and gentlemen, for what is taking place and what we see as far as the panic is concerned. Here's a headline that says, as major cultural events are forgotten, workplaces, bars, and restaurants close, prominent politicians around the world go into quarantine. Two simple questions about the novel coronavirus pandemic seems to rise above the rest. How long will this last, and how will it end? Perhaps you've asked those questions. How long will it last, and how will it end? I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we'll touch on it later in the broadcast. There's an invisible enemy that's on the horizon. The invisible enemy that's on the horizon is none other than the future tense of an attempt to make the world a global communist globe, a global communist, society. And we'll talk about that. Yes, I believe hysteria and panic and fear has literally taken full grip on America. Why is it so? How can it happen? Simply because for 24/7, the media hype tells us that we need to panic. Without using the term, the media hype is saying, ladies and gentlemen, you need to panic. You need to hide. You need to stock up food. You need to, by all means, get plenty of toilet tissue and fill your pantry. That's what we're hearing. There needs to be panic as far as the news media is concerned, that we need to be in a state of fear and hysteria. As a result of this hype, and as a result of this, we're seeing hysteria and panic for all of Americans. And now it seems that Americans are in a trance that whatever is said, we do. Whatever is directed, we simply say, okay, without any questions, without any sense of asking the question, is this frightful enough to give up and surrender our liberties? Should we do so? Now, I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm concerned about the coronavirus. I'm concerned that it will harm and hurt a number of people. But listen, and I'll touch on this later in the broadcast also, we have about 100 deaths in America. And that's about the number that each week takes place in Baltimore and Chicago and in Detroit and in New York as far as the gangsters killing people. And we don't hear that anymore. The news has simply gone silent on all of the news matters in America. It seems as though the only focus for the news media is to gin up hype and fear and panic among the citizens of America and sequester people in their homes, laying off millions of people from their jobs, taking the livelihood, the bread off the tables of millions of people, and shutting down the church. Now, if there's anything that I'm concerned about, out of all things that I'm concerned about, it is that one factor. And again, we'll address that during the course of this broadcast today. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Here's an article that gives you a little glimpse, ladies and gentlemen, of what is happening on the left and the condition and the position that is taken philosophically and ideologically and politically of multitudes of those on the left. Title of the article says, Major Media, : Coronavirus is saving the planet as it kills people. Major news media outlets are alerting readers to immediately see the immediate benefits for the planet as well as for our future arising from the coronavirus pandemic. CNN reporter lauded the unintended benefits, quote, the unintended benefits of blue skies and factories that were shuttered and streets were cleared across China's province. It goes further. USA Today reported in a story headline, could the coronavirus actually be saving lives in some parts of the world because of reduced pollution? That Stanford University's Marshall Burke believes the answer is yes. Further, the article says the climate blog walks up that observed that some appear to want the hardship caused by the coronavirus because it will shut down the pollution of the earth and ultimately save more lives. So there's a glee on the part of multitudes of these global warmists, these climate change tree huggers that are out to save Mother Earth. Somehow there's a mindset that we need to applaud the coronavirus or any other deadly contagion that could kill people, because after all, if you kill enough people, you can save the planet. And that's one of the things that's on the left that's not being heard or seen by the fallacious, false, phony, fake news today. Here's an article that says, a fiasco in the making, ? As the coronavirus pandemic takes hold, we're making decisions, we're making decisions without reliable data, ? It's a very well-written article. It is a scientifically developed article with many quotes out of about five pages from those scientists, the medical professionals that know what they're talking about. Yes, we've had some on the air. Yes, we've had some interviewed by the Communist Network News. But they're only parroting what they want them to say and what the narrative is that they're wanting to gin up across America. This article says, at a time when everyone needs better information, from disease modelers and governments to the people quarantined or just social distancing, we like reliable evidence on how many people have been infected with the virus or who continues to become infected. Better information is needed to guide decisions and actions of monumental significance and to monitor their impact. Draconian countermeasures have been adopted in many countries. If the pandemic dissipates either on its own or because of these measures, short-term extreme social distancing and lockdown may be bearable. How long, though, should these measures like these be continued if the pandemic churns across the globe unabated? How can policymakers tell us if they're doing the right thing or if they're ultimately bringing about harm to our nation, ? Ladies and gentlemen, we're finding, as that article said, draconian methods being taken. Some of those methodologies we would never have dreamed that Americans would embrace, that we would have embraced some months or just a few years ago. But it's because of panic and fear. Ladies and gentlemen, after 9/11, the Patriot Act was introduced and passed overwhelmingly. It literally depleted, diminished, and destroyed most of the freedoms for America. And yet we embraced that restriction of our liberties on the premise and the basis that we would have security and protection from the government over us. I think it was a big mistake. I think it's a grave mistake to reenact the FISA court that is a secret court that can basically indict someone without having due process or having a representation by an attorney. And we find the end result, ladies and gentlemen, was the spying on, the entrapping of multitudes of the Trump administration and his campaign, and then after he was sworn into office and brought about the Mueller report that was attempted to be used to destroy the presidency of the United States of America. So there are a lot of things that we have embraced because of panic in the past. And I think we should have learned our lesson, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, we need to consider proper hygiene. Yes, we need to wash our hands. Yes, we need to be careful on what we touch and how we sneeze or how we cough. Yes, we need to sequester ourselves and stay out of the workplace if we're sneezing, runny nose, or if we have a fever or temperature. Yes, we need to be careful with those things. But, ladies and gentlemen, I don't see any need, and you can say this preacher said it, I don't see any need for the total lockdown of society that we're seeing in America today. I don't see any need for the disruption and the disturbance and the destruction of small businesses across America. I've said before, and may I say again, I believe we're going to have more bankruptcies in America than we'll find deaths in America as a result of the coronavirus. We've had about 31,000 die so far this year from the common flu, if I can be so cavalier as to call it that. We had about 46,000, one report said about 53,000, that died last year from the common flu. And we've got 100 that's died in America today. Yes, they're hyping it that we're going to have hundreds more. That may be possible, but it will not reach, in my most humble opinion, the great numbers of the deaths from the common flu last year or so far this year. And yet we're taking these draconian methods of shutting down all of society. You've got to ask the question, who is behind it? Why is it being done? What's the end result going to be? Why is it being carried out? Who stands to gain and who stands to lose this gigantic toss of the dice, as I would call it in America? And I'm not a gambler, by the way. Listen very carefully. As a result of the hype that we're watching today and the hysteria and the panic, Americans now, as I said a moment ago, living in a state of trance, a state of shock. I believe we stand vulnerable to accepting anything and everything that the government deems okay or needed to stem the so-called pandemic that's taking place. Yes, you heard me. I believe that we have been set up. I believe that we are in a position. I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all, but I believe that we've been set up. We've been placed in a position as citizens in America, conservatives and the Christians in general, and in particular, I believe we've been set up. It's been staged so that we simply will, in a lackadaisical, starry-eyed, staring in the eyes of the headlights, the lights of the headlights, like a deer staring in the headlights as he's blinded. I think we've been blinded in such a way that we're in a trance and we're willing to believe, we're willing to embrace, we're willing to accept whatever edict is passed either today or tomorrow, whatever directions are given by a mayor or a governor or a senator or a congressman or a president, whatever directions are given, we're willing to embrace it and it's accepted. And it's supposedly on the basis that it's for our good and for our protection. I am saddened to see this taking place. What's really happening today? Let me just go through two or three things that I believe we need to understand that's taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. That telephone number is 831-0917. You're welcome to counter what I'm saying. You're welcome to debate what I'm saying. You're welcome to challenge what I'm saying. But I want you to give me evidence contrary to what I'm saying today, and you might convince me otherwise. What are you finding? What are you seeing? Why do you differ or agree? What's taking place in your home, your community? How do you see what's happening in Jacksonville, in the state of Florida, and across America? What do you see the end result being? You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Join in this dialogue and discussion. Love to have your input. As some call it, your 2 cents worth. But first of all, ladies and gentlemen, our Bill of Rights is now becoming vacuous, void, and of none effect. You heard me. Our Bill of Rights are becoming vacuous, void, and of none effect. We're watching the corrosion, erosion, and the disruption, and the ultimate destruction of our Bill of Rights. Listen, let me just tuck this in at this point. If our Bill of Rights can be contravened in the case of an emergency, why can't they be taken any other time? If we surrender our constitutional liberties because of an emergency, whether real or perceived, what is there to say that the Bill of Rights and our constitutional protections, what's to say that they can't be arbitrarily, capriciously depleted or voided or made vacuous and taken away? What will hold them in place? If it is something that can be taken in an emergency, then it is something that can be restricted outside of the emergency state. That's what concerns me. That's the major concern that I have. In fact, the First Amendment alone, Congress shall make no laws respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, I want you to show me a law. I want someone to express a law that allows the government to tell the churches to close. Show me a law that says that. Show me one. I want someone to give me a constitutional attorney that will validate that this is legal to contravene our religious liberties and the freedom of worship in America on any pretense or any pretext that it may be. Secondly, our rule of law has been abrogated. Generally speaking, there'd have to be a law that would be passed that would allow the government to do what they're doing in so many areas today that's not being done. Some are simply being done because of a court order. Some are being done simply because a judge decided he's going to hear and make a decision without a case being brought before the courts. And I've got some evidence of that for today's broadcast. Some are simply saying that we need to in some way suspend the law so that we can protect the citizens. If you can suspend the law in an emergency, why not suspend the law at any given time? You can look at places like Venezuela and understand the end result. You can look at places like Cuba and understand what happens when you have no rule of law. You can look at Russia. You can look at China. You can look at North Korea and understand what happens when the people have no recourse based on Constitution or Bill of Rights or any safety protections or safety nets whatsoever. The right of association has been abridged. And ladies and gentlemen, that's a major right in our Constitution and our Bill of Rights in particular, the right of association. Tell me that 10 people is all can gather. I understand the mindset that it's supposed to be for your good, people. Listen, little folks out there, the government saying, we're the rulers, we're the kings, we're the kingmakers, we're the ones that make the decision. You're just the little, peons on the street, if I can use that term, that we're going to tell what to do and how to do because it's for your good. Now, you might buy that. I don't. You might believe that, but I don't. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a constitutionalist inside and out. I'm a central biblicist. I believe whatever we say do ought to be rooted and founded in the Word of God. I believe that whatever we do or say as a people ought to be protected. And we need to understand that our protection is in the Bill of Rights and especially in the totality of our Constitution as to what we have today. And we're watching that being eroded today, ladies and gentlemen. I'm vitally concerned. Ladies and gentlemen, the fourth thing is that we're seeing taking place, the right to keep and bear arms is now being infringed upon. Mayors are declaring that they have the right and the power to restrict guns and ammunition sales and the distribution of the guns and ammunition. I'm concerned about that. Ladies and gentlemen, vitally so. It is something that ought not to be done. It is something that we ought to be seriously concerned about. In fact, I'm looking at an article that says, on the other hand, are speaking of about the churches, what to watch for when government tells churches to close. Major sports have suspended their seasons. Events of all kinds have been canceled. Restaurants have been closed. Even beaches have been cleared in response to the coronavirus outbreak from China. But what about churches? In light of the First Amendment rights, can the government instruct people not to gather for worship? That's a question that we need to ask and answer. The question, can the mayors or the governor say to any gun owners, the gun shops, that you cannot buy and sell ammunition, that you cannot own a weapon, that we have the right and the authority to confiscate and to restrict, that you cannot buy and sell ammunition and weapons? Ladies and gentlemen, that's the state that we're in America today, and we'll talk about that further in the broadcast after the break. We've got about a one-minute break coming up, ladies and gentlemen. Don't turn your dial. Hang in there. We're going to listen to the news, top of the hour news. After the news, we're going to continue this very, very important issue today, a time of testing.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.